Good morning.
After Chile had announced its candidacy to host the Soccer World Cup of 1962, there was fierce opposition from European delegations. One of the members of the European country stood up and asked the Chilean delegation, "How are you going to organize the event? You have absolutely nothing." To which Mr. Carlos Tidborn, the head of the Chilean delegation, replied, "You don't understand. It is because we have nothing that we will do it all." Those words became a rallying cry for Chileans who successfully organized the World Cup in 1962. Those words have also served as a source of inspiration for me and many other Hispanics. It is truly a pleasure to be here today to talk to you about asthma in Hispanics. What I'll do over the next 50 minutes or so give you some background about the characteristics of the Hispanic population, the prevalence, morbidity, and mortality of asthma in Hispanics. I will then discuss potential risk factors for asthma and the diagnosis and management of asthma in Hispanics. Finally, I will discuss potential future directions for research in this field. What about the Hispanic population? According to the 2000 U.S. Census, there were 35.2 million Hispanics, comprising about 12.5% of the population of this country. The U.S. Census projects that by 2050, the Hispanic population will triple, constituting 25% or a quarter of the U.S. population. It must be understood that the term Hispanic indicates a common heritage of language and culture that can ultimately be traced to the times of the old Spanish Empire. Individuals with roots in areas previously under Spanish rule, Mexico, large parts of Central and South America, and some Caribbean islands such as Cuba, Puerto Rico, and the Dominican Republic are considered Hispanic. Because of the vastness of the old Spanish Empire, Hispanics live in very diverse areas, ranging from deserts to tropical areas to mountains. This table shows selected demographic and healthcare characteristics of some Hispanic American countries. Although none of the Hispanic American nations is among the wealthiest in the world, there is wide variation in gross domestic product, GDP, per capita in these countries. For instance, Puerto Rico, which is a possession of the United States, the GDP per capita is $17,700, whereas in Peru, it's only $5,600. Infant mortality rate, a gross indicator of healthcare status at the national level, also varies tremendously. It is 8.24 for death per 1,000 live birth in Puerto Rico, but 31.94 death per 1,000 live birth in Peru. In terms of health spending, you see countries like Costa Rica spending $383 in healthcare per capita, whereas Peru only spends $93. There is also wide variation in reported asthma mortality rates, being 7.55 per million in Peru, and almost five times higher in Puerto Rico, 37.19 per million. Where do Hispanics in the United States come from? Where 60 to 66% have a Mexican descent. 9% are Puerto Rican. 4% identify themselves as Cuban. 14.5% as Central or South American, and 6.4% as others. This category includes Dominicans and individuals who have been in this country for a long, long time, such as Hispanics from New Mexico. What is the prevalence of asthma in Hispanics? Asthma is a major public health problem in many Hispanic American nations. It must be recognized, however, that there is wide variation in the prevalence of asthma among and within Hispanic American countries. These are data for children ages 6 to 7 years who participated in phase one of the International Study of Asthma and Allergies in Childhood, ISAC, in Hispanic America. As can be seen, the prevalence of both Karen Huis in the previous year and lifetime asthma was highest in Costa Rica and lowest in Mexico. It should be noted, however, that unfortunately only one city from Mexico was included in the study. In fact, the only study that was truly conducted at the national level was that in Costa Rica. What about asthma among Hispanics in the United States? Puerto Ricans have the highest and Mexicans the lowest, Mexican Americans, the lowest prevalence of asthma of all ethnic groups in the United States. This finding is known as the Hispanic paradox. This table summarizes the results of several surveys in the United States. First study to report that the prevalence of asthma among children in this country was highest in Puerto Ricans and lowest in Mexican Americans was that by Carter Pockers and colleagues. Similar findings were obtained for studies of Mexican Americans and including Mexican Americans in children and adults in Texas. In a study of adult women that was conducted in East Boston, again, the prevalence of lifetime asthma was highest in Puerto Ricans and lowest in Mexican Americans. What about the morbidity and mortality of asthma in Hispanics? The asthma insights and reality in Latin America, AIRLA survey, it screened 46,275 households to identify 2,184 children and adults with asthma. Of subjects who participated, approximately 47% had mild persistent asthma, and about 30% had moderate or severe persistent asthma. Of the 2,800 participating subjects, 52% of adults and 69% of children had at least one asthma exacerbation in the previous year. 22% had been hospitalized for asthma at least once in the previous year. This figure is significantly higher than that obtained in similar surveys in other regions of the world. The AIRLA survey had significant limitations. First of all, it was only conducted in urban areas. Secondly, data was not reported for the frequency of non-participants among those who were approached, and it is thus not possible to adequately exclude selection bias. Third, data was not reported by country, and therefore one cannot adequately compare asthma morbidity across Hispanic American nations. What about the United States? In the U.S., Puerto Ricans have greater asthma morbidity and greater asthma severity than whites and Mexican Americans. Even though Puerto Ricans have greater access to healthcare in general than Mexican Americans, the magnitude of the differences in morbidity, severity, and as we'll see, mortality, cannot be solely explained by access to health care or other sources of bias. Puerto Ricans living in the U.S. mainland have greater asthma mortality than non-Hispanic whites, Cuban Americans, and Mexican Americans. Of interest, the age-adjusted asthma mortality rates for Puerto Ricans was highest in the U.S. Northeast. 81% of all asthma deaths in Puerto Ricans were reported in the Northeast. What are some of the potential risk factors for asthma in Hispanics? Let's start with genetics. Most Hispanics have variable proportions of European, predominantly Spaniard, Amerindians are native people of the Americans, and African ancestry. Those proportions, however, vary among and within Hispanic American countries. In Mexico, for example, individuals living in Veracruz, a city on the Atlantic coast, have significantly greater proportion on average of African ancestry than those living in Mexico City. In Uruguay, a small South American nation, individuals living in the capital, Montevideo, have a much greater proportion on average of European ancestry than those living in Tacuarembó, a city near Brazil. Hispanic is refers to ethnicity in the broadest sense of the word, not race. This slide shows five Hispanic individuals: Rigoberta Menchú, an Amerindian from Guatemala who received the Nobel Peace Prize in 1992. Two Red Sox players, Mike Lowell, our third baseman, a Cuban-American, and David Ortiz, a Dominican. It's a fellow Colombian from my hometown, Barranquilla, Shakira, who's of Lebanese descent. Finally, Alberto Fujimori, a former Peruvian president, who is of Japanese descent. Very few people realize that Buenos Aires, for instance, has one of the largest Jewish populations in the planet. How do you approach the genetics of a complex trait such as asthma? The thing that is usually done is to demonstrate that the disease aggregates in families and that traits related to asthma, for instance, are heritable. One can then take two general approaches. One is to select genes that for which there is biological plausibility that they influence asthma pathogenesis, so-called functional candidate genes. Second complementary approach is positional cloning, in which you try to identify susceptibility genes solely on the basis of their chromosomal location. This can be done traditionally with genome-wide linkage analysis, and more recently through genome-wide association studies. The goal of these two complementary approaches is to identify susceptibility genes and the functional variants within them, with the hopes of ultimately developing better means for prevention, diagnosis, and treatment of asthma. To date, genome-wide linkage analysis for asthma have been conducted in 18 distinct human populations. Until very recently, only one of those 18 scans included any Hispanic individuals, a relatively small number of Hispanics from New Mexico in the United States. This table summarizes the results of association studies for a candidate gene for asthma in Hispanics, ADAM33. Two of these studies were negative, found no association between any variants in ADAM33 and asthma. One study had some associations of borderline significance that would be attenuated after adjustment for multiple testing. As shown, two of those studies had very modest sample sizes and therefore limited statistical power. In addition, in two of those studies, Hispanic subgroups were not adequately characterized. All Hispanics were lumped together. Although a third study focused on Mexicans and Puerto Ricans and had adequate sample size, it recruited individuals from multiple sites. In this study, the GALA study, Mexicans were recruited in Mexico City and San Francisco, two areas that are environmentally very different, and Puerto Ricans were recruited from the Bronx and the island of Puerto Rico. This table shows results for another association study for another candidate gene for asthma, the gene for the beta-2 adrenergic receptor, ADRB2. First study is a case-control study from Monterrey, Mexico, and showed an inverse association between the GLU27 allele of ADRB2 and asthma. Second study, family-based, again the GALA study, found no association between any variants in ADRB2 and asthma in Mexicans, but found an association between the number of R16 alleles and responsible bronchodilator in Puerto Ricans with reduced lung function. There are several reasons for the discrepant findings with regard to ADRB2 and asthma in Mexicans. Some of those reasons include difference in study design, case control study, susceptible to a form of bias called population stratification, family base is not, chance, difference in statistical power, and genetic and environmental heterogeneity in the GALA study among Mexicans. Most association studies of candidate genes in Hispanics have been significantly limited by a number of factors, including small sample size, inadequate definition of Hispanic subgroups, who is it that you're studying, Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, heterogeneity of the population studies with regard to ancestry, country of origin, place of birth, area of residence, socioeconomic status, lack of correction for multiple testing, insufficient data on environmental exposures, and for case control studies, lack of detection and control for population stratification, a form of confounding or bias due to racial admixture. Our group has been studying the genetics of asthma in Costa Rica. Costa Rica is a Central American nation situated between Nicaragua and Panama, with coasts on both the Atlantic and the Pacific oceans. Costa Rica is a prosperous Latin American nation. Its citizens have enjoyed universal access to healthcare since the late 1940s, a dream that continues to elude U.S. citizens. Primary education is free and compulsory since the 1940s. This has resulted in a very high literacy rate, approximately 95%. For reasons that aren't clear, Costa Rica has one of the highest prevalences of childhood asthma in the world. 1 in 4, approximately, Costa Rican adolescents have asthma. A unique feature of this nation is that in the year 1697, there was a census. We know that at the time, there were 2,100 Spaniards, 1,400 Amerindians, 300 individuals of African descent, and 160 mestizos. Mestizo is an individual with mixed Spanish and Amerindian blood. Most Costa Ricans descend from that small number of founders, and most Costa Ricans live in a central valley that is separated from the Atlantic and Pacific coast by mountain ranges. That geographical isolation, coupled with the fact that there were no wealthy Indian tribes in Costa Rica, resulted in minimal migration in and out of the Central Valley until the late 1800s. A repeat census in 1869 showed that less than 1% of the Costa Rican population was foreign-born. In our study, we required that every index child has to have at least 6 great-grandparents born in the Central Valley to ensure that he or she descends from the founder population of Costa Rica. One can imagine a Spaniard coming in a burro or donkey and finding out that there is little to pillage. There is really little to no incentive to cross these inhospitable mountains. Our family-based study of asthma genetics in Costa Rica has been funded by the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute since March of 2001. Today, we have collected genotypic and phenotypic data in over 2,600 individuals. 671 of those individuals are members of 8 large families, and the rest, 1,600 or 1,950, are members of nuclear small families, affected children with asthma and their parents, also called trios. When we designed the study, we thought that we would need 15 families with 40 members each to recruit 600 people. It turns out that 4 of our families have over 100 people each. This is family number 3. We have data on 249 members of this very large pedigree. This table summarizes the characteristics of the members of the large families in Costa Rica. About half of them were female. Their age ranged from 6 years to 92 years, We have a couple of great-grandparents from the index children. Total IG had wide variation. A significant number of individuals were atopic, were sensitized to at least one common allergen. As expected in families of asthmatic individuals, most had normal lung function, but there is a wide range of variation. In these families, children were frequently diagnosed with physician-diagnosed asthma, about 40%. And 37% of children reported wheezing the previous year. If one used a more stringent definition of asthma, physician-diagnosed asthma and carrying wheeze, about 30% of children in these families had asthma. Of adolescents and adults, 17% had both asthma and carrying wheeze. As expected in families of asthmatics, a relatively small proportion of individuals reported carrying smoking, about 7%. This table summarizes the results of the analysis of heritability of quantitative traits related to asthma. The heritability of total serum IgE was 56.6%, meaning that approximately 57% of the variation in total IgE in the members of these families could be explained by genetic factors. That's what that means. The heritability of all traits was highly significant, and it ranged from 10.5% for response to a bronchodilator to 50% approximately for airway responsiveness to methacholine. As I told you, there are two ways to approach, two general ways to approach the genetics of complex traits. We chose a positional cloning approach, beginning with genome-wide linkage analysis. This slide summarizes the general idea in very simple terms of genome-wide linkage analysis. Trying to find an asthma susceptibility gene is really hard. You're trying to find one or a few out of 25,000 approximately genes. It's like finding a misspelled word in a set of encyclopedias. A useful first step is to try to identify the volume that has the misspelled word or the chromosome. This can be accomplished via genome-wide linkage analysis. Then through genotyping more markers and repeating the linkage analysis, so-called fine mapping linkage analysis, one can try to identify the page or chromosomal region where the mutation or misspelled word is. Through further work, studies of association and function, one can try to find a sentence. This sentence may contain a couple or more genes. Or the gene. And then finally, you try to find the misspelled word, the mutation. Doing just linkage analysis is not enough. Oftentimes, this chromosomal region contains a significant number of genes, ranging from 16 for a region that, as I'll tell you, will identify, to more than 100, depending on the size of the region. The idea for these genome scans, you genotype approximately 400, sometimes 1,000 markers that are highly polymorphic, so-called short tandem repeats. These markers have no function whatsoever, but they function like a dragnet and allow you to pinpoint the location of genomic regions that may contain susceptibility genes. It's a map of chromosome 1, and here you have this, the map of short tandem repeats, also called microsatellites. What is linkage analysis? It's a statistical method that analyzes the distribution of DNA markers within families to try to identify genomic regions that contain one or more susceptibility genes for the disease you're interested in. The results of this analysis are typically expressed as log scores. A log score is simply a log 10 of the odds that two loci, your marker and hopefully the disease susceptibility gene, are linked. Log scores of 1.9 to 3 indicate suggestive evidence of linkage. Greater than 3.6 indicate highly significant linkage. These are the results of the genome-wide linkage analysis of asthma in the families of asthmatics in Costa Rica. Two regions show suggestive evidence of linkage to asthma in all subjects, chromosomes 1q and 12q. After excluding the relatively small number of former and carrying smokers, this was done to reduce potential misclassification of COPD as asthma, the signal for linkage on chromosome 12q significantly increased. Significant results were observed for the analysis of airway responsiveness to methacholine. where again, among non-smokers, there was suggestive evidence of linkage to airway responsiveness on that region. These figures summarizes the results of the genome-wide and fine mapping linkage analysis of airway responsiveness on chromosome 12q. On the x-axis, you have chromosomal position in centimorgans and the markers that were genotyped. On the y-axis, you have log scores. The red line represents the result that I already showed you, the evidence for linkage to airway responsiveness among non-smokers, with a log score above 2. After genotyping more markers and repeating the analysis, there was highly significant evidence of linkage to airway responsiveness on chromosome 12q in non-smokers. This is the first genome-wide linkage analysis of airway responsiveness in any Hispanic population. The results strongly suggest that chromosome 12q2431 contains a gene or genes that influence airway responsiveness, a critical intermediate phenotype of asthma in Costa Ricans. Dr. Benjamin Ravy and I were interested in looking at another important phenotype, total serum IgE. As is the case in other human populations, there was sexual dimorphism of total IgE in our pedigrees, with males, shown in blue, having a higher total serum IgE level than females, shown in pink. This was highly significant. This is a graphical depiction of the results of the genome-wide linkage analysis of IgE in all subjects. Among all subjects, there was only modest evidence of linkage to IgE on chromosome 7p, a region that contains GPR154, a positionally cloned gene for asthma. The analysis was stratified by gender. Two regions, chromosome 3q and 7p, showed suggestive evidence of linkage to IgE in females. In males, there was significant evidence of linkage between a novel locus on chromosome 20p12 and IgE. Of interest, there was little to no overlap for linkage to IgE in males and females. The results for chromosome 3q, again, suggestive evidence of linkage to IgE in females, a log score near 0 for males. On chromosome 20p12, high log score for IgE in males, log score close to 0 in females. This is the first demonstration to our knowledge of a distinct genetic architecture of total serum IgE in males and females. The results strongly suggest that chromosome 20p12 contains a gene or genes that influence total IgE, an important intermediate phenotype of asthma in males. We have preliminary evidence that a candidate gene for B cell development, JAK1, may influence total IgE in males. Those results await confirmation. Let's move on to other potential risk factors for asthma, such as low socioeconomic status. We know that Hispanics are disproportionately represented among the poor in the United States. In this country, poverty has been associated with increased rates of asthma and asthma morbidity. However, several studies done in both the U.S. mainland and Puerto Rico show that poverty is very unlikely to solely explain the increased prevalence of asthma or the increased morbidity from asthma in Puerto Ricans, or the reduced risk of asthma in Mexican Americans. Although vigorous efforts should continue to reduce disparities in asthma in Hispanics and non-Hispanics alike, poverty is very unlikely to explain the increased burden of asthma in Puerto Ricans and the reduced or low prevalence of asthma in Mexican Americans. It's not the sole explanation. What about potential environmental and behavioral risk factors for asthma in Hispanics? Air pollution. Air pollution has been associated with increased asthma morbidity in non-Hispanic populations. Mexico City is one of the most polluted cities in the world. Among children living in Mexico City, exposure to ozone and particulate matter has been associated with an increased risk of school absences, and reduced lung function. Unfortunately, most studies of air pollution in asthma in Hispanic American have been limited by several factors, including a small sample size, the lack of assessment of exposures at the individual level, and limited data on the asthma phenotype per se. What about passive exposure to smoking? Surely enough, if you're living with Patty and Selma, you would be. Our group has shown that in utero smoking is associated with an increased risk of childhood asthma in Costa Rica. In Connecticut, Dr. Beckett and his colleagues show no association between exposure to environmental tobacco smoke, ETS, and asthma in Puerto Rican children. Other investigators, however, have shown that ETS exposure is associated with increased asthma morbidity, increased school absences in Puerto Rican children. Again, in this area, there are very few studies, limited by a cross-sectional design, small sample size, and non-assessment of objective measurements of exposure, such as urinary creatinine. Does obesity influence asthma in Hispanics? In Hispanic America, obesity is common, particularly in urban areas. Cross-sectional studies in adults have shown that obesity is associated with an increased risk of asthma in Mexican adults, both in men and women, and with an increased risk of carrying wheeze, an asthma symptom, in Chilean women. In the United States, obesity is a major health problem in both Mexican Americans and Puerto Ricans. Obesity has been associated with an increased risk of asthma, twofold increase, odds of asthma, in Mexican Americans. And in a survey, it was also associated with an increased risk of asthma in Puerto Ricans. Again, in this area, these studies are all cross-sectional, and they have had limited phenotypic assessment of asthma and or obesity. What about exposure to indoor allergens such as dust mite? In Hispanic American, exposure to dust mite allergen is common, particularly in tropical or coastal areas. Very little is known about exposure to other indoor allergens such as cockroach. We do know that cockroach allergen exposure is common in coastal areas of Costa Rica. Among children in the U.S. Northeast, Hispanic ethnicity has been associated with increased risk of exposure to cockroach allergen, but reduced risk of exposure to other allergens, such as dog, cat, and dust mite. These studies were all done in children who were at high risk for asthma. No study has targeted specific Hispanic subgroups in this area. Our group has shown that among children with asthma in Hartford, Connecticut, Puerto Rican ethnicity was associated with an increased risk of sensitization to both cockroach and dust mite, but again, reduced risk of sensitization to allergens from dog. These findings and those of other investigators suggest that allergy and allergic diseases such as hay fever may be underdiagnosed in Puerto Ricans. Do helminths, such as Ascaris lumbricoides, influence asthma in Hispanic America? Dr. Cooper and his colleagues have shown an inverse association between helminthiasis and the intensity of helminthic infection and atopy, allergen sensitization, in rural areas of Ecuador. However, that group and others have found conflicting results with regard to asthma and or asthma symptoms. In Cooper's study, for instance, there was an inverse association with exercise-induced wheeze, but no other asthma symptoms. Dr. Honeyhackey has led an effort to examine the relation between sensitization to Ascaris lumbricoides and asthma in Costa Rica. Among 439 Costa Rican children with asthma, the prevalence of helminthiasis in Costa Rica, by the way, is relatively low. It's very low, and it has been declining. In those children, ascaris sensitization was associated with a five-fold increase in the risk of atopy, an almost 1.5 risk of increased airway responsiveness to methacholine, 2.6 increased odds of response to a bronchodilator, and a threefold increased risk for asthma hospitalizations in the previous year. It's associated with measures of asthma severity and asthma morbidity. These findings have two potential explanations. One is that Costa Rican children who have severe asthma and severe atopy have enhanced immune responses against Ascaris lumbricoides. This has been shown at basic research level by Cooper and colleagues. A second potential explanation is that improved hygienic conditions and antihelminthic treatment, which we know have resulted in a profound decline in the prevalence of ascariasis from the 1950s to the 2000s, resulted in removal of potentially beneficial immunoregulatory influence of helminth and therefore increased expression of atopy and asthma. Of interest, national guidelines in Costa Rica advise primary care physicians to administer empiric antihelminthics to all school children twice per year. What about migration? Migration has, at least it seems to have, divergent influences on Mexican Americans and Puerto Ricans. In Mexican Americans, adults and children, birth in the U.S. is associated with an approximately twofold increase in lifetime asthma. Dr. Robin Cohen from our group has recently found in a study of Puerto Rican children living in the Bronx and the island of Puerto Rico that the opposite is true. That is, in these children, birth in Puerto Rico was associated with an increased risk of asthma and asthma hospitalizations. We are following up on these findings. What about asthma diagnosis in Hispanics? In Hispanic America, there is indirect evidence that asthma may be underdiagnosed among children in Hispanic American countries. Why? There were wide discrepancies among Karen Huiz, reported by parents, and physician-diagnosed asthma in several nations who participated in ISAC. However, there is limited objective evidence that asthma is underdiagnosed in Hispanic America because these studies have not included objective measures of lung function or airway responsiveness. There's been no validation of these surveys. We know very little about potential misclassification of COPD as asthma or vice versa in Latin America. In the United States, there is also indirect evidence that Mexican-American children may be underdiagnosed with asthma. It's a survey of Mexican-American children in San Diego in which the proportion of children who would have been diagnosed with asthma on the basis of some questions was much greater than the proportion of children who had been diagnosed with asthma by a physician. Again, several surveys in Mexican Americans have shown significant discrepancies between parental report of Karen Huiz and physician-diagnosed asthma. A major obstacle for asthma diagnosis in U.S. Hispanics and Hispanics in Hispanic America is the lack of adequate reference spirometric values for all groups except Mexican Americans. If you use spirometric reference values that were developed for ethnic groups in the U.S., such as whites or Mexican Americans, in other groups, such as Mexicans in Mexico City or Puerto Ricans, you may under or over diagnose airflow obstruction. It's been shown in several studies. What about asthma management in Hispanics? Data from the AIRLA survey shows significant problems with asthma control and asthma management in Hispanics living in Hispanic America. 31% of adults and 59% of children reported at least one absence from work or school in the previous year. 39% of adults and 34% of children reported nocturnal awakenings at least once per week in the previous year. 49% of adults and 62% of children with asthma never had a spirometry, and less than 11% of study participants use inhaled steroids. What about asthma management in U.S. Hispanics? In 2003, nearly one-third of the 41.2 million people living in the U.S. who were uninsured were Hispanic. Among Hispanics, legal residency status is positively associated with health insurance. However, 45% of Hispanics who are legal residents are not insured. Lack of health insurance is no doubt a formidable obstacle for adequate asthma management in Hispanics. However, factors other than health insurance negatively impact the management of asthma in this population. These factors include a relatively low use of inhaled steroids that were prescribed by physicians, even in those who are insured, particularly in managed care organizations. And the risk is exponentially higher for non-use of steroids if families speak Spanish and not English, even if they are insured. It's been shown in the GALA study that Puerto Ricans may have a lower response to bronchodilators than Mexican Americans. This may be due to several factors, including genetics and environment. There are also differences in cultural beliefs. Some Hispanic subgroups may prefer alternative therapies such as herbs over traditional medical treatment. Knowledge of these beliefs is important. What about patterns of use of healthcare in Puerto Ricans? Dr. Coyne from our group recently showed that among children with asthma in Hartford, those who were Puerto Rican tended to have more outpatient visits for asthma. They saw their physicians far more frequently and scheduled visits. But when hospitalized, spent fewer days in the hospital than African Americans. In the GALA study, it was shown that Puerto Ricans, again, this came from Puerto Rico and the Bronx, were less likely to use inhaled steroids than individuals of Mexican descent in San Francisco and Mexico City. Asthma management programs can be tailored to primary care providers. Implementation of an asthma management program for primary care providers of poor airborne children in the city of Hartford resulted in significant improvements in asthma management, namely increased use of anti-inflammatory medications from 38% to 96% over a two-year period, reduction in the rates of emergency department visits for asthma by about 27%, and outpatient visits for asthma by about 19%. What are some potential future directions for this field? The time to group all Hispanics as belonging to the same group should stop. Future studies should include and adequately characterize specific Hispanic subgroups with regard to ancestry, self-reported ethnicity, country of origin, place of birth, area of residence, and socioeconomic status. Genetic studies should measure relevant environmental exposures and account for population stratification, if case control, that can result from racial admixture in Hispanics. What are some potential research studies that could be done in Hispanic America? I think a pressing issue is validation of outcomes obtained from surveys by objective measures. I am concerned, for instance, about the low prevalence of asthma reported from Mexico in the absence of some validation studies. Intermediate phenotypes such as A to B should be adequately assessed. We know that the relation between A to B and asthma may be very different according to the region of Hispanic America you look at. There are potentially modifiable factors that can be studied in an efficient and inexpensive way through case control studies. Those include, but are not limited to, ETS exposure, access to healthcare, diet, helminthiasis, indoor exposure to wood smoke, which is still frequently done in certain parts of Latin America, and community violence, which may negatively impact both asthma and asthma morbidity. In the U.S., a high priority for research on asthma in Hispanics is the Hispanic paradox. We should try to find out why is it that Puerto Ricans have such high asthma burden, and why is it that Mexican Americans seem to have low prevalence of asthma. Could include genetics, ETS exposure, diet, access to healthcare differences, migration and acculturation, stress, community violence, and others. High priority is to develop reference values for spirometry in Puerto Ricans and hopefully other Hispanic subgroups. We know very little about Hispanic subgroups other than Puerto Ricans or Mexican Americans who live in the United States. They should be included. And the impact of interventions for management at the practice or community level should be further explored. For instance, is there a positive impact of increasing cultural competency among providers for children or adults with asthma? Does that result in better asthma management? That question remains unanswered. The need for research in Hispanics should not supersede the need for implementation of feasible measures to reduce the burden of asthma in this population. A dream of all Americans, broadening access to healthcare, improving housing conditions would reduce exposure to detrimental allergens such as cockroach. There is evidence that reducing exposure to ETS in poor populations could also have a significant impact. The work I presented today would not have been possible without the talent and hard work of many individuals at the Chaney Laboratory, the Department of Biostatistics of the Harvard School of Public Health, the University of Puerto Rico, the University of Connecticut, the Genome Quebec Innovation Center, and the Hospital Nacional de Niños in San Jose, Costa Rica. I'm humbled and privileged to lead a small program on obstructive airway diseases in Hispanics, brain and women. There are three projects. Talk to you about the genetics of asthma in Costa Rica, which is now in its sixth year. Genetics of COPD in Costa Rica, it's a study of 900 members of families of individuals with COPD in that nation, it's in its second year. And we just started a study of the interaction between genetic variants, allergen levels, and asthma in Puerto Rican children living in the city of Hartford, Connecticut. I'm very fortunate to be here today. I probably should not be here. When I came to this country, through the Miami airport, an immigration officer asked me a question. When I told him I could not understand, he told me I was stupid. He then proceeded to scream when he looked at my passport and said, "Colombian drug trafficker, go get searched." The other immigration officer took pity on me, and such search did not occur. After submitting 400 letters of application, I received only 7 interviews for residence. I ended up serving an internship at Lincoln Hospital in the South Bronx, the poorest congressional district in this nation, where the prevalence of AIDS at the time was 33%. My highly improbable journey from Columbia to the South Bronx to Boston was not possible because of my limited intellectual abilities, but because of the help of many extraordinary individuals. My parents, my wife, mentors such as Ed Silberman, Diane Gold, and Scott Wise, and the many talented young people that I've had the privilege to work with. I've suffered great losses. Thousands of decent, hardworking Colombians have died over the last 4 decades as a result of violence, including my brother. I have been able to overcome formidable obstacles because the spirits of my people fueled my burning desire to serve those who left, to honor those who left by serving those who remain. This talk is in their honor. May they rest in peace. May God bless you. Thank you.